This is the Thursday edition of the Revelation series, and I am Martin Zender, your host and your guide into the truth, leading you through the scriptures, through a difficult book, the book of the unveiling of Jesus Christ. But we are unwinding it, aren't we? We are opening it, looking at its secrets, not mysteries, secrets. It's not a mystery. Mystery is something you might never figure out. A secret is something you don't know until it's told. And now we are learning things. And we're on chapter 14 already. And we're moving through chapter 14. And pretty soon we're going to be in the next chapter, which would be, yes, just as I suspected, chapter 15. Now, people wonder how the earth can get so degraded. Because, look, the earth, the inhabitants of the earth think much, much too highly of themselves. We have surrendered all that confidence in the flesh, and we live relatively depressing lives. I don't mean that, or do I? Let me think about this. No confidence, depressing lives. Yeah, I'll go with that. I find that when I'm depressed, I sleep really well. When you're depressed, you just go to bed. You can't wait to go to bed, and then, you zonk out. But when you're excited about life and you're going to conquer stuff and you're going to make a name for yourself and you're going to put your name on a giant building, then it's hard to sleep at night. You're up at night, your eyes are wide open and you can't wait for the next thought to hit you. So having no confidence in flesh is much more relaxing. Not that I wish depression on anyone, but there are antidotes. I said that the solutions to life were simpler than we originally thought, that we don't need medical doctors for the most part, we don't need professors, and we don't need pastors and priests. Sometimes all you need is a can of Ready Whip. Shoot it directly in your mouth. It's an antidote to what ails you for the time being. I wouldn't want to make a habit of it. Don't eat it for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. But humanity as a whole has much too high of opinion of itself. And how can the race as a whole come to the low point of worshiping the opposite of Jesus Christ? I will tell you how, my friends, because I have the answer. You count on me for this. Because the race, even the religious aspect of the race, has put God far away from it. It is interested in only one thing, human attainment. And if it has to, it will put God's name on that human attainment. Every religion on the earth is about human attainment, human accomplishment. I at least have to honor that human accomplishment, which calls itself what it is. For instance, going back to the election, Bernie Sanders on the Democratic side, he's a avowed socialist. He says what he is. I'm all for taking money from the rich and giving it to the poor. I'm for free everything as long as we steal from the rich. And as a consequence, enrich the ruling class. That's Bernie Sanders. I admire that. I don't admire the system. I admire the honesty. Call yourself what you are. Religious humanity doesn't do that. They use these kind, lamb-like phrases. Salvation is of God, but we know that free will is human pride. But what leads to the deepest degradation is when God is set aside. And Paul in Romans 1, starting in verse 18, lists the problem with humanity. And he begins by a reference, a veiled reference, but we know what it is because we've been studying this book to the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Here it is, Romans 1:18. For God's indignation is being revealed from heaven on all the irreverence and injustice of humans. Stop right there. What is that except the tribulation? What is that except revelation, the unveiling? God's indignation being revealed from heaven. When is that happening? Now? No. It's the opposite. Now. Wicked people prosper. Good people are smashed down, kept down, humbled, hidden, the rich in this eon. The evil people, I'm not equating richness with evil. I'm just saying that those who have set themselves up to feed off the rest of humanity, they're skating along nicely, aren't they? Because God's indignation is not yet being revealed from heaven. But the time will come when it is. Paul anticipates this and tells us why it's going to happen. For God's indignation is being revealed from heaven on all the irreverence and injustice of humans who are retaining the truth in injustice. That's the first shock. They're retaining the truth, but they're retaining it in injustice. Let's go back to the shock. They're retaining the truth. They have it. These are those of whom Jesus will say, "Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness," because they will say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name?" They have retained a semblance of the truth, a false presentation of it, but it's in injustice. The doctrine of eternal torment is an unjust truth. It's an unjust lie. It's not the truth. It's a twisting of the truth. That is a retaining the truth, like saying you want it, like we're retaining it. We're holders of the truth, yet you're doing it in injustice. You're doing it by ending up exalting yourself, free will, over God. That's the religious side of things, because that which is known of God is apparent among them. Okay, let's stay with the religious people. That which is known of God is apparent among them, for God manifests it to them. Now, here's an unusual take on that. My take is unusual, I think. When I read this, I say that the truth of God is apparent to them in that we, as members of the body of Christ, are lights in a dark world. Paul says that. Paul says we're luminaries. The world speaks of its luminaries, stars, celebrities, politicians, athletes, luminaries. But we are the true luminaries. And we are ambassadors of Christ, as of God beseeching through us to be conciliated to God. So we're ministers of peace. And this is not apparent to everyone, but our testimony is apparent to some, your friends, your family. God is apparent among them, for God manifests it to them in the form of your presence, your words, your influence. What's the result? Nothing. Because the truth is retained in injustice. It delights in a system of injustice, where a few brief years of sin are punished with an eternity of torment. That's injustice. A Christ who came to save the world and failed, a God who purports to be just and proposes a remedy to sin, can't do it. Injustice. Now we get to the world. For his invisible attributes are descried from the creation of the world, being apprehended by his achievements, besides his imperceptible power and divinity. So he has imperceptible power and divinity. He's divine, and it's seen in his creation. But look at this phrase, being apprehended by his achievements. I think of the verse in Paul, Ephesians chapter 2. For his achievement are we prepared ahead of time for good works. His achievement are we. We're his achievement just as much as Neptune is, the sun, the mountains. And Paul talks about God is apparent in his creation. His attributes are descried from the creation, being apprehended by his achievements. What I'm doing here, I'm adding human achievements to this. The achievements we're used to talking about here are the sun, the moon, the stars, the flowers, the plants, the animals, the birds. Those are his achievements. How can anyone look at that and not hold God as God? How can anybody deny God, that there is a God? How can anybody be an atheist? I saw one good billboard finally, a Christian billboard that I finally liked. There was a picture of a tree frog, I think, and it said, evidence for God. I thought, that's good. Yeah, the tree frog. I've told you this before. How do I deal with an atheist? I'll reach down, pick up a blade of grass or a flower, hand it to him and say, that's all the proof you're getting. Or, if I'm in the mood, the spirit moves me, I'll give them the conciliation. I'll tell them how God is at peace with them. That has power. And so their power is known, yet they turn away because they delight in injustice. This is why the world goes bad morally, because it first goes bad spiritually. This is a chain reaction. This is what I'm driving at, is that when you're surrounded by God, either by word, by deed, or by physical creation, and you deny that God because you delight rather in injustice, then this will lead to depravity of all kind. It will lead to moral licentiousness, and you will go down a hill of degradation. Because that's where it starts. I'm going to prove that to you here. They're defenseless because knowing God, not as God do they glorify or thank Him. Not as God do they glorify or thank Him. So they know God. Knowing God, not as God. I relate that to verse 19, retaining the truth, but injustice. Knowing God, but not glorifying Him as God. But rather vain were they made in their reasonings. They're thinking their own thoughts. And darkened is their unintelligent heart, alleging themselves to be wise. A throwback to yesterday. Religion, medicine, education, the priests, the doctors, the professors, professing themselves to be wise. What? They are made stupid, and they change the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of an image of a corruptible human being. They think that they're God. They think that they're the captain of their own world, of their own salvation, of their own profession, of their own everything. They see the miracle of birth, and they say, I did that. This is why God didn't produce the promised seed through Ishmael, because Abraham was smoking a cigar. I did that. No. I did it. Waits till Abraham's dead. Verse 24, here's the key. Here's the kicker. Here's the punchline you've been waiting for. Wherefore, God gives them over in the lusts of their hearts to the uncleanness of dishonoring their bodies among themselves. Those who alter the truth of God, alter the truth. You have to be in the realm of truth to alter the truth. You have to be near it. You have to be in the arena of truth in order to alter the truth. This goes along with those other two things here. Retaining the truth in injustice and knowing God, not as God, do they glorify Him. Same thing here. You alter the truth of God into the lie. There's no more deceptive lie. There's no more tricky lie than that which alters the truth of God. Take something that sounds true and twists it. And are venerated and offered, listen to this, offered divine service to the creature rather than the creator. Divine service to the creature. This is what atheists do. The creature is the ultimate. The creature has no history. It has no creator, according to the atheists. And the Christians, while they won't do that, well, some of them will do. I know several Christians who believe in evolution. Are you kidding me? Nothing has ever crossed species. Nothing came from nothing. God created everything in Himself through spirit. Verse 26, therefore God gives them over to dishonorable passions. So here's where it starts. Not recognizing God as God. And therefore God gives them over to dishonorable passions. That's where it starts. That's how humanity is going to get to the place where they are ready to receive the man of lawlessness and do it happily and willfully. Because they have been groomed. They have been trained to drive God out of their consciousness. Even religions do this. Well, they have God before them. They have his name, but there's nothing behind it but injustice. It's the tombs of the dead. This is going to lead to the worldwide worship of the wild beast.